The Gunpowder Talk by Katharos, narrated by Rhea 314. Fandom Nirvana and Fire. Gen, rating general audiences, no archive warning supply. Yu-Jin had come out of the war with one firm conviction: the soldiering life was not for him. He hadn't come across any reason at all to change his opinion over the following year. And it was very nice to be back in the capital where nobody was dying, or at least not dying bloodily or messily at his hands or by his orders. And the music was just as beautiful and important as before, and the sun shined just as brightly, and a new outfit was still the perfect excuse for an outing or a moon viewing. And it was still just as entertaining to talk to the other young masters of the capital, even if none of them were Jingrui, because Jingrui was away in the Jianghu with his Zhuo family, and Yu-Jin was very happy for him. To talk about music and art and complain about the state of the world and trade juicy gossip and idly work out what all of their chatter really meant. The problem was, it wasn't enough anymore. The thing is, Yu-Jin said, interrupting his own retelling of Zhang Wei's annoyance with his uncle's sudden new business interests in Jianye province, "I think I must be bored." The emperor raised his eyebrow, setting aside the brush he had been using to take notes. "From all the tales you have to share, I'm surprised you can find the time." "I know." Yu-Jin waved a cake for emphasis. "You know, I used to think only boring people could get bored, but since I'm certainly not boring, I'm going to have to rethink that." He bit moodily into his cake. Yu-Jin dropped by every few weeks to have tea with the emperor and update him on his doings in the capital, and they both pretended that some other official couldn't have taken down Yu-Jin's small nuggets of information just as well. Jing Yan-Guge had always been the one to get him down after Lin Shu-Guge had abandoned him up a tree. Yu-Jin thought that it was only right to return the favor.
"If my opinion is worth anything to you, I can assure you that you are one of the least boring people I have seen today."
Yu-Jin wrinkled his nose. "That's not saying much. All you've seen today is morning court." He kindly ignored the emperor's snort. He sighed. "Ever since I came back from the army, I feel like something is missing. And it's definitely not fighting. I know you military types enjoy it, but soldiering really isn't for me. But I suppose however much I enjoy my old life just isn't enough for me either anymore." "I blame Sir Su," he added, knowing that the random-seeming comment would make the emperor smile. Which it did.
"He did have a talent for upending lives," the emperor agreed.
"I know, but at least you got a new job out of it. What about me? I was overlooked," Yu-Jin said sadly. The emperor raised his eyebrows, looking a bit bemused.
"Yu-Jin, if you're interested in my position..."
"Oh, no thank you!" Yu-Jin waved his hand emphatically. "It looks like far too much hard work for me." He put his head on one side and gave his best winsome smile. "I don't suppose you might have any other jobs going, though." The emperor set down his teacup and gave him his full attention.
"Are you sure, Yu-Jin?"
He held up a hand when Yu-Jin made to answer. His gaze was heavy and stern and keen.
"I'm not going to refuse the chance to have you in my government. I would be a fool to. So be very sure before you offer."
Yu-Jin felt his cheeks heat. But it was almost impossible to refuse the emperor something when he was looking at you like that. So, Yu-Jin forced himself to push past the happy bubble of surprised pleasure. The emperor wanted him. And to think seriously. Did he want this? A civil service position, demands on his time, loss of his freedoms, having to wear the official robes, giving other people the right to tell him what to do and where to go. Yu-Jin thought of Lin Shu-Guge, coughing his life out in the medical tent,
still dictating strategies between gasping breaths. He thought of Jingrui's birthday party, the ugliness of his honorary uncle's manipulations laid bare. He thought of how fragile peace and security now seemed, and the trades and bargains and sacrifices he now knew were paid to keep it, and of the emperor, of his strength and determination and weariness. Yuqin looked up and smiled brightly.
Your Majesty, please give me a job.
Yin Xue wasn't surprised to be ushered through to the emperor's presence as soon as he arrived at the palace. If the emperor hadn't thought to expect this visit, then he was less intelligent than he thought.
Marquis Yin,
the emperor said after receiving his greeting,
let us speak in private.
He led the way out to the covered veranda. They were alone save for the loyal Meng, who stood far enough away to give them privacy. It was still strange to look at the emperor and see the bright young boy he had known, to see the unfavored prince he had grimly expected to burn himself up in grief and rage in some forgotten border clash. Yin Xue had felt affection for that young boy and distant kinship for that angry young man. But the person standing beside him now, looking out over the palace, was only an emperor.
My son tells me you have offered him a position in your government. Yuqin is an exceptionally talented young man. I would be a fool to refuse his offer of service.
He is young and idealistic.
I also,
Yin Xue said, once dedicated myself to serving an emperor who I trusted would rule justly and wisely and well.
I understand your fears.
The emperor turned and met his gaze squarely.
But I also have promises I have made to people I cannot disappoint. I am not the same man as my father.
Yin Xue smiled bitterly.
The throne changes people. The Xiaoxuan I helped onto the throne was not the same man as the one who died 3 months ago. That man betrayed our trust. He committed terrible crimes. And I want to make sure you know, Your Majesty. If it wasn't for the intervention of Sir Su, I would have killed him for it.
At last, the Emperor's reserve cracked. His eyes widened.
Ah.
Yin Xue lifted his eyebrows. So your strategist didn't share that incident with you. A complicated series of expressions flickered across the emperor's face. Grief, annoyance, exasperation, rueful fondness.
No, he said. He did not.
Well, permit me to share it with you now. Yin Xue stepped in close, holding the emperor's gaze.
I hid gunpowder in the sacrificial altar. The former emperor would have lit the fuse which killed him with his own hand, and only the intervention of one who is now gone prevented it. And so I tell you now, if you disappoint my son as he did me, I will not wait 12 years to see you dead.
Marquis Yin, the emperor said, if I ever become an emperor Yuqin would be ashamed to serve, I hope that someone would.
Yin Xue let out a long breath, nodding slowly. The rage and fear that had brought him here subsided back into his usual calm, that others mistook for sincerity.
However, the emperor added sharply, if it comes to that, I trust the perpetrator would have put a plan in place to preserve the stability of the country. What is the point of removing a rotten head if everything then collapses into chaos?
Yin Xue stared at him,
and then laughed, a harsh bark of a sound that made Mengzhi jump and reach for his sword. Do you know, he had the same criticism. He shook his head and huffed softly, remembering the dangerous stranger who had scolded him in his own house. I am ashamed that I lacked his ambition. The emperor looked at him hungrily. Will you tell me the story? It was like being hit in the chest. For a moment, Yin Cui didn't see a bright boy or an angry prince, or even an emperor looking at him. He saw a young man, not much older than Yu Jin, who was grieving deeply and was yet still striving to do right by the empire he held in his hands. Yin Cui let out a long, slow breath and inclined his head. I would be glad to. Ah, well. It seemed he wasn't finished with foolish hope, after all. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.